Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 251, recorded on April 25th, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah. I got here on time.
Yeah.
Thanks to Apple Watch.
Cool. It's doing its job. Mickey's tapping his foot.
Yeah, because I had totally forgotten. And then I was having lunch over at the Green Dragon where I hang out, and I get this little notification. Hey, you've got the iOS Show in 30 minutes.
That's nice. Oh, crap.
That's I guess important. I better pay and get home now.
Oh, good.
So
it did its job.
It did its job.
And Jeff Gamet is also here from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, but clearly not as well as you two are doing.
Yeah. So you didn't...
Sad face.
You're not one of the lucky ones that... So you have a the second batch. You're in the May something, May 8th to 27th or whatever.
May 13th to 27th, yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't get bumped up.
Not yet.
Yeah, there are a couple people, so we're going to cover that stuff. And
I think all the people that got bumped up are... More famous than you? Did by the 42mm. Version.
Oh.
And I went with a 38 millimeter.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a feeling that I ordered the model that Apple has been making very few of, which is Sport Black 38 millimeter.
Oh, it's the Space Gray.
Yeah.
38 millimeter.
Did you get one of the... So they sent out these emails to some lucky developers saying, hey... Here's a special opportunity if you want a 42 millimeter silver
sport blue.
Sport blue.
We got a bunch of blues around that nobody wanted.
Yeah. I guess that's what it was, but they said guaranteed delivery on April 28th, which was pretty cool.
I ended up with the 38 blue, and I was thinking I would want to swap the band out immediately. It is actually pretty nice. It's not bad. The blue.
Yeah, so they have decided that they're going to offer band swapping within the first 14 days. So if you don't like the band you got with your Sport or Apple Watch, then you can just go in there and
swap her out.
I think it just really applies to the Sport band, though.
This feels like a misnomer with how it's being reported, because it's really not a band swap per se. This makes it sort of sound like, hey, you don't like the band that you have, come in and swap it. And I don't like that, because the idea here is that you didn't, you know, order the watch that you really wanted to order, or the combination you wanted to order is sort of what you decided. And I know that's a minute difference in sort of philosophy and thinking. But the idea is, hey, we're going to be short on supply, so it's going to be easier to just swap out the band for you. Yeah. But I just worry that too many people are going to hear the story and go, well, maybe I don't really like the band that I have, you know, like after the fact. Does that make sense? So that's the minute difference. It's like before the story came out, I didn't even think about swapping my band. You know, I made my choice and I was going to live with it. And I perfectly liked the watch. And then suddenly this thing, Apple's going to let you swap your band if you don't like it. No, that really wasn't the intent behind this. This is the sort of thing, like, your watch arrives, you pre-ordered it, you go, you know, this, I really didn't want this one. I want a different one. But, you know, I think there's going to be some retroactive people deciding they got the wrong one, even though they really don't honestly feel that way, just because they read that Apple's going to let them swap.
Well, I mean, that thought certainly crossed my mind. I think it crossed a lot of people's minds. But I think what you're saying is it's... I think the intention was, on last 2 weeks ago on Friday, the idea was you could go into the Apple Store, check out what they have, and make an informed decision based upon a try-on. But of course, the supply was too small for that to ever possibly work out. And so I think it's more of them trying to make it right with the customers who got in there quickly and got what they thought they wanted and then realized after trying it on, perhaps either in the store or after getting it for the first time, they said, oh, this doesn't really work for me.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? Like, I think there's going to be people who were perfectly happy with their decision until they read that report, and then they're like, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, I don't like mine now.
Yeah. Now, there are some rules there. So the quote is, the new band must be within the same collection as the watch and must be an available band option for that watch face.
Mm-hmm.
The band swap must be within the 14-day return period. The watch must have been purchased through the Apple Online Store kiosk or Apple Store app. So you can't get it from a third party. And you are not using band swaps as a way to configure a sellable product for a customer.
Right. So they're not going to let me get the black band that I really want with the silver sport.
Nope. At least not as a swap.
How do you mean?
Exactly what Jeff just said. Like, ideally, if I could have ordered the 38mm aluminum with a black band, that would have been my very first choice. But that's not a combination that even sells. So I can't go in now and go, well, hey, I want the black band on my... It's not a band swap. Again, getting back to the original thing that we're saying, this is not
a
band
watch
swap.
Yes.
And they're just doing it band only because literally they're not going to have the inventory to be able to do a full exchange for you anyway. So this is a way for them to be able to handle that exchange, quote unquote exchange, and which is why the rules you just read off, Michael, are the rules.
Now, it is kind of interesting though, because you can get what you just described. You can get a sport band silver. You can get a silver based sport band with the silver button in it. So
what? No. What I'm talking about is the black sports band only comes on the space gray model.
Right.
So I have the stainless steel silver watch casing. I would have preferred it with a black band, but I went with the blue because black is not an option with the silver.
It is.
So I
am looking at it right now.
It is?
Yeah. With the sport. It is not an option with the aluminum silver.
That's what Adam just said.
Yes, that's exactly what I just said.
You said, okay, maybe I
you
thought
said
you
sport.
Said, oh, you said sport. Okay, I'm getting confused.
And sport happens to be the one that's aluminum.
Yeah, I was interchanging those two terms.
I got confused.
I have in the past made the bad mistake of saying stainless steel.
Okay, I got you now.
It is an option on the stainless steel.
It is an option on the stainless steel. That's correct. Well, you know what? I would go in there and see what you can finagle if you're that kind of person.
No, I mean, I'm going to get a way cooler third-party band for way cheaper.
Get one of those cool third-party bands.
And I don't know if we want to get into this now, the fluoroelastomer band is really nice. I'm really liking it.
I was surprised at how nice it felt when I tried it out in the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, and having now worn it for more than, 24 hours or almost 24 hours at this point, I can hardly tell, I have the watch on at all, and I can't say the same about the rubber band on my Pebble. Not that was uncomfortable. It wasn't uncomfortable, but like this is, I don't know what it is about this material, but it's soft and supple and feels lightweight. So
it's that Johnny Ive treatment.
Yeah, but I still don't think it's worth $50.
No, it's totally no. It's not worth $50. That's insane. But I mean, Apple is telling us that it's worth $50. So,
well, that's and if the people story. Pay that, they, then there
and,
you go,
and they will.
Well, I won't. I mean, that's just the thing. And for sure, I mean, really, the band I wanted was the leather classic buckle, but there's no way I'm paying $150 for that because I will get a really nice, probably tan leather one with maybe some nice stitching on it for probably about, I'm guessing, $20 to $40.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to look really nice and feel good. And it will feel even better knowing that I didn't pay Apple tax on it.
Yeah. So people were going kind of bananas. The people who ordered the Apple Watch and were, I think it was mainly the people who got the first batch range starting at the 24th. But also including the people who got the second batch, because some people were bumped up, right? So they were also kind of including themselves in, Ken Ray. That's really awesome that actually worked out. But, there was insanity. I don't know if you guys were looking at the social networks and Reddit and MacRumors that I was looking at, but people were just going crazy.
By insanity, you mean like Twitter rage, internet rage?
So much internet rage, so much. Do you think it's going to come? Do you think it's going to? Like, people don't know.
I was surprised at how many people were freaking out thinking Apple wasn't actually going to ship a watch to them.
There was so much of it. It was crazy. And people...
In my opinion, Apple borked this up in terms of communicating with their customers. I think they did a really bad job on this, and I don't want to let them off the hook. I know a lot of people are apologizing for them or saying, oh, no, it's okay, and this, that, and the other. And I understand it. I don't want to like say that I'm angry at Apple or upset, but at the same time, I think, they need to look back at this and go, yeah, we didn't maybe handle that in absolutely the best way we could have in terms of putting the customer first.
I guess in some ways you could say, well, they did provide a range to everybody. They didn't provide hard dates.
Yeah, but that immediately caused confusion because the statement that was made before that time frame
was April 24th.
Yeah, and then they didn't offer any other explanation. There was no warning. There was no, they could have set an expectation ahead of time. They could have put out a press release. They could have done a myriad of things other than order. So the confusion immediately started order day because, the ordering process goes really well. Everybody's like, yeah, that's awesome. Apple, the whole system didn't go down. But I'll admit, I get the confirmation email. And instead of saying, yes, your order will be delivered on the 24th, you get a range. And then you're like, what's this range thing? Because they said it was coming on the 24th if I got my order in. And then, it's just spiraled down from there. And then on top of that, release day comes out and suddenly people who are in the second window are getting theirs on the first day and people who are in the first window are not getting theirs. And it's just mass, they created that hysteria in my mind to a certain degree, and they've done little to address it or say anything. Then there was also that weird letter that went out, the what I was calling the, hey, you're not getting it letter, but it was phrased in such a way
that maybe your order.
What?
The one that says we're working on your order?
Yeah, we're working on your order. You'll get it between the 24th and the 8th. But, rather than, I'm pretty sure everybody who got that letter, and someone can email me, I would love to know if someone got that letter and actually got their watch.
I would like to know as well.
But I'm pretty sure, because I got my watch, everybody I've asked who received their watch on the 24th did not get that letter, and everybody that didn't did. So that, in my mind, says Apple knew when they shipped that out, we're going to send this to everybody who's not going to get it on the 24th. Wow. So why not just say, you're not getting it on the 24th. We're sorry.
See, and so my impression of that was this letter was going out to people who had been harassing the chat staff, the Apple Store chat staff.
Oh, that I didn't know. I don't think so, though. I'll have to double check with some people. But
yeah, I would love further information on that. But it sounds, man, if it's what you're making it out to be, that's not so good.
And I have no proof or evidence, just to be super, super clear. Yeah. That was just my speculation.
Conjecture,
based on what I was seeing.
But we'll have to see. Yeah, so if you got that letter and you got your watch
on the 24th, we want to hear about it.
Or maybe even the 25th. I'd like to know.
But again, they had so many opportunities to better set expectations, to better communicate with their customers, to avoid the confusion. And the problem with the confusion is it leads to the rage and the anger and at the same time, and I said this on a couple podcasts though, all of us who are feeling those feelings, and I get it, and you may think I'm coming from a different different perspective because I did receive my watch and I fully would be in this group. I will admit this. If I had not received my watch on Friday, I would be in the group of people who are very upset and angry and complaining. But I also am fully willing to recognize how badly entitled that would make me feel or seem, right, to other people. It's just like complaining that I didn't get my Apple Watch, you know, my technology on the day that it was promised to me is not, you know, it's frustrating and I get it from both sides. As a fan, you know, I would be having all those feelings. But at the same time, I'm fully willing to recognize that they're not necessarily super rational feelings to be having. You know, it's yeah, technology,
but they're real
it's a thing. They are real feelings.
They're
and
real
I don't
feels,
wanna...
but they're kind of too
yeah.
much.
It's a very superficial thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and for me, being stuck in a group, you know, May 13th to 27th for my delivery window. All right, for me, that sucks. Yes, I totally get first world problem. but the main reason it bugs me that I have to wait a little bit longer to get mine is that I can't work on a product review.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little different for us who are in the media, but again, at the same time, you know, in the world, there's a lot bigger things to be having rage about, you know, that yeah. that are more
are
a lot
there?
More valid.
I guess there might be.
And again, I want to be clear. If I hadn't received mine, I would be in that group.
Now, when you say if you hadn't
doing
received...
Doing those things that were wholly irrational and not logical and feeling all those same feelings. So I would be right there with you. And I totally feel for everybody who didn't get their watch, you know, many of them, my friends, you know, Victor and George, Starcher, you know, among others. It's just like, I totally get the frustration because we're fans. We love this stuff. I mean, we bleed the rainbow colors and you want to be right there with everybody. So,
right. And you want to have the new thing on launch day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's clear they
totally
just
get that.
It's clear they had some supply chain issues or it was just too early or what, whatever. It's just the demand was clearly much, much greater than they had capacity for.
Yeah. But I mean, they always have that. I mean,
I think it was way more than usual because at some point they made a decision that they weren't going to have enough watches in order to put them in the stores for people to purchase on launch day.
I think probably the biggest thing that happened in terms of supply chain is I think they were probably caught off guard by how many stainless, because it seems like the largest group of people who did not get them, and I know this isn't everybody, but the largest group is probably the stainless steel version. And I think that they had a lot more stainless steel orders than they probably thought they were going to get. But at the same time, you know, I want to iterate. I think really the biggest problem and the biggest thing I'd like to see them address here is not that, yeah, we had a supply chain problem, because they always have that to some degree. It's I wanted them to get better
problem.
At handling their customer sort of communication and better setting the expectations, because they fully could have given themselves a longer lead time. You know, they didn't have to tell people these things are going to be available in 2 weeks. They could have said order on the 10th and they're available on May 9th.
Yeah,
or 8th, whatever that further out date was,
and then ship early to some people, now they're a hero.
Yeah, now they're a hero, and people are still going to be a little frustrated, but you know it's not going to be this sort of other way around. Like, I don't understand why my neighbor got his and he ordered after me and I didn't get mine. I mean, that's just a frustration. So let's explain that to people. Like, why is that? Even if they came out with a statement and said, look, we got more orders for this model than we had predicted by a factor of 3, and we're sorry, you know, and then people would not be quite as angry. You know, I'm not going to say they're not going to be angry, but at least they would have an understanding.
There would be people that are always angry.
Yeah, but they'd have an understanding, and you can rationalize that. I think, you know, most of the frustration comes out of being totally confused as to why one person got theirs and another didn't. Yep. So, but that's not the kind of company that Apple is either, though. So it'll probably never happen. But, I mean, they could totally mitigate this if they wanted, I guess, is what I'm the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. There were some places where you could walk, wait in line, and get an Apple store, like three, basically. Some places in London, a couple places
LA.
In L.A.,
and where all the scalpers
Berlin
were hanging
and
out.
Tokyo.
Yeah. Yeah, were they all scalpers? Probably.
Did you see the pictures? Go look at some of the pictures, and it's just so obvious. The guys that you would have seen hanging out at the Apple store, you know, at iPhone launches over the past couple of years, it's the same motley crew of folks.
Oh, really?
Yes, totally.
That's funny.
In my, you know, again, I'm totally speculating, and sure, it's total conjecture.
I did see a couple guys with who looked very iPhone-y, who, you know.
Yeah, well, you always have that too. You have the diehard fans, but then there's like that big group of, you know, we're going to buy these things and ship them off.
I don't think they're going to make a lot of money on those things, though. I mean, I haven't really looked at
eBay. Are you kidding? If you're in a country where you're not going to get the Apple Watch for a year, you ship one of these things there. You can get 2 to 3 times.
There's some
Sultans
or something.
Oh, easily. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Ooh, you can get a SIM ejector tool on eBay for 1 cent. Two of them. Wow.
Think about it too. Unlike the iPhone, the watch, I mean, you can use it if you're in a country that doesn't support it.
Yeah.
Or where they're not selling it. You know, there's not a baseband limitation or anything like that. If you have an iPhone,
just need a compatible iPhone.
Unless they're holding back the Apple Watch app, but I think that's part of the OS update, right? That wasn't held back from anybody.
That came with April 2.
I don't know but I don't know for certain. I mean, did they roll it out in every language version or every country? I assume they did, and maybe there's not separate versions. I guess there's probably not separate versions of the OS, right? There's just the different languages are all included anyway. So
right, and from what I've been told, the Apple Watch app itself isn't an app in the true sense of the word. It's an alternate interface into settings.
Yeah.
So
it's really part of the core OS.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let's get into our impressions of the watch and taunting Jeff. But before we get to that, we have to talk about our sponsor this week, which of course is NatureBox at naturebox.com/TIOSS, TIOSS. And you're going to get a free box of snacks with that. And you know you're going to snack. And when you do, you want it to be worth it. Something that's tasty and satisfying, but doesn't make you feel guilty afterwards. And what you need, of course, is snacks from NatureBox. You can choose from over 100 healthy and crave-worthy options to be delivered right to your door. All of their snacks are made with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, 0 grams trans fats, and no high fructose corn syrup. And best of all, they taste amazing. And you know, the way I think about these snacks from NatureBox is they're the kind of snacks that you would whip up if you were sitting there and you're like, you know what? I enjoy snacking, but I want to make some snacks for myself, and I want some like interesting stuff, and I want it to be homemade and use real ingredients and all that stuff. So if you had like a day or two to research online and come up with some fun recipes and go to the store and like do the whole shebang and get some good snacks going, these are the kind of snacks that you would create for yourself. But nobody has time for that, let alone a regular interval of loading up your pantry with some good snacks to have around. So that's why NatureBox is so cool, because they have, like I said, over 100 different snacks, and they're all really unique. They're just the stuff you don't see in Target usually. So naturebox.com/TIOSS, you can go and browse all of these snacks. The ones that I got set up with, that I chose, I got the dark chocolate pretzel pops. So these are little pretzel balls with dark chocolate on them. I got some cashew power clusters. I got toasted cheddar sticks. These are like sesame seed sticks and with a cheddar flavor. Really good. Again, all natural flavor, so no fake cheese. And of course, they have the line of nom noms, they call them, and they are so good. We got the peanut butter nom noms. dude, I mean, they're not like ultra healthy because there's obviously sugar, but again, it's like the kind of snack that grandma would make you, all real ingredients and so, so incredibly delicious. And so they have a huge arrangement of different things that you can get there. You should definitely go check them out. So right now, if you go to naturebox.com/tyos, you can get a free trial of their favorite snacks. They're delivered right to your door, and they're free. Like I said, free snacks. So what are you waiting for? Go to naturebox.com/TIOSS and start your free trial today from NatureBox. They're great. Check them out.
Get your nom nom on.
Dude.
Get your nom nom on.
Have you had these nom noms?
No, I haven't.
I had like two of them. They sent me a whole bunch of them. I had like two, and once my girlfriend had one, they were gone.
You gotta go get some more.
Yeah, I gotta get some more nom noms, dude. I think there are like five different types of.
Yeah, so you gotta get your nom noms.
Peanut butter nom noms, blueberry nom noms, dark cocoa nom noms. Yeah. All right. So while you're eating your nom noms, you're probably gonna be playing with your Apple Watch, right? And so I got mine. Adam got his. And
yeah, I have a concern at this point.
So we both got the sports.
Yes.
The boxes are all different. It seems the sport watch has a long box, an elongated box. And I actually asked my UPS man. It's like, hey, did you get a lot of these sent out? A lot of the Apple Watches? He's like, oh no, I think this is the first one because it's a really weird box. I think he would notice. And of course, Adam was sitting outside. It looked like it was kind of rainy in San Diego.
It was rainy for a change. It's actually good for us because we are in such a bad drought. It's really, really bad. Right
so were you
now,
so. Actually sitting out there, or was that like a little joke picture that you had when you're...
No, that was my picture to point out how sad it is that we don't have the camaraderie of waiting in line at the Apple Store for this launch. You know,
that would have been fun.
So the point was, hey, I get to be first in line at the new, at the new location where I get to pick up my Apple Watch, which is my house.
Yeah.
You know, so that's great, but I don't get to camp out and there's nobody here and I'm all by myself.
Yeah, I did meet somebody that I like actually goes to the same school, which isn't that surprising here. But like we talked in line about stuff and I saw him at school a couple weeks later, like, hey, how's the iPhone going? So yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
But the boot time, it seemed like forever to boot that thing. I guess it's something like 70 seconds. So don't shut your Apple Watch down.
I had to reboot mine. So.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I went and did a workout this morning.
Okay.
And that went great and it worked out really well. And I even got a little award, although we can talk about the award, which is weird.
Okay.
if you want. Because if you reach your goals, they give you these little awards. But I thought that was supposed to be like a little badge with like some writing or something like, hey, you've reached level one or whatever it is. It was, I have no idea what it was. It said, tap here to see your reward. And I'm like, okay, cool. I get to see this thing. And it was like this rotating, it looks like a target.
Okay.
Like in silver. And it like rotates around, but there's like no color on it. There's no wording. It doesn't say, congratulations. It's just like this. I don't know what it's supposed
like
to
be. Like a spinning, a disc spinning in space or something.
Maybe it was like a Tron consolation prize.
I don't know. But I didn't feel good afterwards. I didn't feel like I had achieved anything. It was sort of a letdown. So I will complain about that.
Okay. The setup was...
But yeah, setup took forever.
It did. I didn't even have it installed.
I had to reboot it. So I went after the workout to go to the shower and I took the Apple Watch off and the two green LEDs were like on, like fully on and did not come off when I took the watch off.
Oh, that's weird.
And I don't know if that's normal or not. And I kind of let it sit there for 30, 45 seconds and they still were on like full brightness.
You know, the Basis Peak that I'm testing right now, It does the same thing. So I have a feeling that there's a preset time where if it loses the signal of the light bouncing back through your skin, where it just keeps the lights on, hoping that it can find that.
Weird. And yeah, so, well, but then even I tried powering it off and powering it back on, and when it came back No, not powering off, powering on. What did I do? Yeah, so I ended up powering it off, powering it back on, and I think they came back on again. Hmm. And so then I ended up pressing and holding, you know, the side button and the digital crown until it actually rebooted to the Apple logo. And again, it took forever for it to boot back up. But then it was off after that reboot cycle. So I don't know if that's normal. I don't know. I'm going to play around with it a little bit, but that was a little bit weird. Hmm. So that I did end up rebooting.
Yeah, it sounds like something else was a problem, or there was a different problem, not just it's doing the normal, hey, I'm trying to find your wrist thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I've had Siri completely lock up too, the whole thing. Dude, for like a really long time.
Okay, so I got to talk about Siri. First of all, I'm slightly annoyed by the fact that she doesn't provide any voice feedback.
Yeah, mute Siri sucks, man. I don't like her.
Yeah, but
she doesn't talk to you. It's like a one-way conversation, you know? Like, this relationship is really one way. It sucks.
Well, maybe she's just mute Siri, so you have to wait for her to type out her response. But, dude, forgive me, Hey Siri doesn't work.
You have to have the watch enabled first.
It is enabled.
Like, you have to be seeing the screen.
Yeah.
And then it works about 50% of the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't work. They need to fix it.
I'm curious how quickly the first software update's going to come out.
Yeah.
We know there's a software update coming because that's something Apple addressed in responses to the early reviews.
Oh, yes. So we're assuming we haven't gotten that update. That update isn't on our current watches.
That's my assumption.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And when I get Siri to work twice now, it's just totally where the screen's kind of just gone blurry. You know, like it blurs everything out, like it's going to bring up the Siri interface or Siri's going to go process something.
Yeah.
And then it just sits there for like the longest time. You know, I'm talking about, you know, 30, 60, 90 seconds. And then finally the watch comes back up.
I'm not having those kinds of issues.
Yeah. It's happened twice for me now.
I haven't had that. But
so it's there's some bugs. There's some bugs.
That makes sense though.
Yeah.
And arranging apps. Have you tried arranging your apps yet on the screen?
No. I didn't put that many apps on deliberately.
I didn't either. I don't have that many third-party apps on here. I basically just kind of went with the ones that I decided I wanted on there.
Did you skip that part of the setup? Because I had heard early on a couple places, they're like, do not choose the option to let it. Because during the setup, it says, hey, do you want to enable all your, you know, us to install all the apps that have watch compatible apps from your phone?
Yeah.
Say no, people.
I did. Yeah, say no. Because otherwise, an extremely long process is going to be even more so.
Yeah, loading the apps takes forever from what I've heard. And plus, you probably do not want every app that's on your phone that has a watch-compatible component on your watch. You will just be overwhelmed with notifications and with glances. And the glances kind of suck, too. I just want to talk about that.
Do they? I'm okay with the glances.
Navigating the glances, I guess, is what I want to say. It's not the glances themselves. It's that it's just a linear thing. And there's also no labels, at least that I can tell, for which comes up. And the minute you move to a glance, it starts to load it. So you can't just like sort of blow through.
Yeah, you can. You can throw it pretty quick.
Well, I mean, you can swipe through, but I mean, the minute you hit the screen, it starts to load it. So to me, that's like using up processor cycles. It's doing, you know, I don't know how it works under the hood. If the minute you swipe away from it, it shuts itself down. But I also don't, there's like no icon at the bottom. There's no, like, I don't know. For example, again, I went to work out, and it's LA Fitness. LA Fitness, their thing doesn't have a logo. It doesn't have any branding. It doesn't say anything about what the app is. So it shows that it's loading, and then when it finally comes up, it's like, oh, you have no classes that you're going to go to. I mean, I'm going to take that glance out because it's, for me, totally worthless. I was hoping it could bring up my little QR code, which you can get through the app. So it has an app and a glance. It's one of those.
Uh-huh.
The glance is totally useless for that app. And yeah, that's just going to be a learning curve, but
it's definitely, you know, there's a lot of learning curve stuff in there for sure.
Like, so some developers do have their logo when you go to the glance, some don't. So this may be more on the developer side of things to be like, hey, you guys need to, like, you know, actually put your logo on there somewhere so I know what glance is coming up.
Exactly.
But I mean, if you have a lot of glances, all you can do is swipe left to right. So like navigating them, I think is, that's really cumbersome. You know, if I have a glance and it's at the end of the list, you know, I got to swipe through 10, 15 glances before I can get
sucks.
To it. Yeah.
Why don't they have glances with icons, like you're just saying, so that you can have a glance cluster or glance cloud like you have for all the apps?
Where I think then it's just an app. I think then it's just kind of an app thing. So I don't know what the solution is, you know. You know, I don't know. It'd be nice if maybe you could go to the glances and then swipe up one more time and maybe get a scrolling, you know, like the like you have on your Mac with the control tab, command tab.
Possibly. I
think that a whole little like line of icons or even a vertical line of icons that you control with the just to jump to a glance really quickly. There needs to be a way to navigate from glance, say, 2 to glance 17 without having to swipe, you know, 15 times.
I think this...
right.
I think this specific thing is twofold. One, you have to... Well, at this point, in this incarnation of it, you're going to just have to really pare down
the glances.
The glances.
Yeah.
And I have. And I mean, that's one of those practices I'm into on my phone where I regularly try to find apps that I don't use and trash them. But I think it's, again, you want to... perhaps start with very few, and then as you're going about your life, try and hone in on what you truly want.
Right.
At least in this incarnation. Now, if they change it, and it sounds like they may need to alter how they do this. But until they do, I think that
And it might just be in addition to us figuring out how to manage and use them. I think there's also a learning curve on the developer side, you know,
yes.
to realize what's valuable in a glance and what's worthless and, you know,
right.
like...
Yeah, and I'm thinking CNN is not getting it based on everything I've seen so far.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Why do you need CNN on your watch? I don't...
Yeah, and I think glances are also supposed to come up automatically, right? If you have certain notifications that can jump into a glance, is that right? Or
I don't think so. I think it goes to the
swipe
app.
Up from the bottom thing.
I think it's just the swipe.
Yeah. So actionable notifications and then glances are the separate thing. Yeah, so I don't know if I've discovered the true value of the glances or if it's just developers haven't discovered the true value. And I think there's a little bit of both probably that need to happen.
Yeah, yeah. For example, the deliveries app, it's really strange because I'm seeing this, I'm tracking another delivery of another Apple Watch for a friend, and it has a giant number one, but it's delivery May 27th. I don't really understand that. I think these guys still need to kind of figure out how these glances work. But the music remote glance is pretty nice. The calendar app, the built-in ones are very nice.
They're good. Yeah. Well done.
So, but I'm still playing with what I like so far as far as glances go. Yeah, we talked about the initial sync time being crazy long. Apple Pay, that was kind of interesting because I had just assumed all of my Apple Pay cards would be migrated to my watch, and the settings even in the app on your phone give you that impression. And there's an option that says
really.
I just assumed
they all went too.
It's really confusing because
it says mirror phone and it's let me look at this. It says mirror my phone and I said okay, and then I went to check it out and there were no cards in there. Okay, fine, I have to add it.
Yeah, the mirror my phone is for the notifications,
the alerts, I guess.
Yeah, the alerts that you would get, not the actual cards. So you need to re-add cards
and
to the watch.
Another thing was, so they prompt you to set up a passcode. You need the passcode in order to have the cards in there. And I turned off the passcode at some point after adding my card. And then I was messing around and at some point I double-clicked again. And it was like, you need to add your a card to Apple Pay. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And it didn't give me any prompt about how removing the passcode would ditch all my cards, but it makes sense.
Oh, that's lame. It makes sense, but they should tell you.
Yeah.
They do, though, because it's in there. It says it somewhere in that screen, because I read it. It says in order to use Apple Pay, you need to have a passcode set. Hmm. So they
should remind you.
There's no reminder that when you remove it, but it does say that in order to use the Apple Pay feature, you are required to use a passcode, which is obviously for security reasons.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I like the there's an option for unlock with iPhone. So it says when this is on unlocking, your iPhone will automatically unlock Apple Watch as long as you're wearing it, which is a very nice feature. So you don't have to type your passcode in hardly ever. It was really funny when my girlfriend finally came home and I showed it to her. She's like, oh, there's a passcode. Wait, why do you have a passcode on your watch? Do you really need a passcode on your watch?
You do.
And for the totally cards do. Or for your credit cards, it makes perfect sense.
Even just for notifications and for other things.
Yeah, that's debatable. Certainly. I think for most people, they would say that, you know, some people would say they don't care, but it's a funny question phrased as, why do you need a passcode on your watch?
And you do still get the watch app without the passcode, FYI.
The watch face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I don't think you can look at your glances or anything.
No. You can't get in anything, but you at least can get the time and stuff like that without entering your passcode.
Yeah, that is nice. So, you basically just can't do anything except for look at the watch face with that on. That makes sense. Let's see. Yeah, so arranging apps on the screen, that was a major pain in the butt for me.
Why do you want to arrange them at all? They're just in a cluster anyway.
Because I don't want to have to go hunting for my apps when I do that. Trust me, there's a method behind the
magic. I totally get why you have to do this.
Well, I have more apps. I think the thing comes installed with more apps than will fit on the screen unless you scroll around. And
yes.
And I wanted to have it arranged. It makes sense that you have, you know, the watch is the center, and then you kind of want the...
Hold on, I have to stand up.
Okay, good. Make sure you do that. I wonder when mine's going to come in. Probably pretty soon. And then you have the most used apps kind of flowing out from greatest at the center to least going outward. And I kind of arranged them in a way that the... the similar apps are near each other. Like I have Weather Underground on here, which I may be getting rid of. I'm not sure. And the weather app that's included. And they're near each other. Same deal with like Yelp and Maps and that sort of thing. So I'm figuring out what works best. But there's a definite learning curve with arranging the apps. I was real pissed.
Can't you do it in the app?
It doesn't change how upsetting it is.
Oh, okay.
Trust me. I was just checking.
Like I said, I haven't tried to move mine around because I really didn't care because it's so it's such an amorphous blob anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine that even really organizing them helps a whole ton. I guess you know, they're in the upper left corner somewhere.
Yeah. It's helped me. I'm digging it, and I'm just kind of going for what is instinctual, and if there's anything that like, I kind of like it over here, then I just change it up on your phone.
How many minutes do I have to stand up for?
I don't think it tells you. Are you still standing?
Well, yeah, and I've also heard like if you cheat like I am right now to talk into the microphone and bend over, that it won't count it.
Oh. Interesting.
How about if you stand, bend over, but still hold your arm up in the air so it's higher?
Yeah, that's what I was. I thought that's what you were doing. You just kind of raised your arm. But one thing
I did lift the microphone now, though. Oh, I did it. It actually gave me a notification. I got a tap.
It said, good job, Adam.
I've earned another hour toward my standing goal. Okay, I can sit back down now.
Good job, Adam. You stood. So you had to just stand for a minute, or how did that work out?
Well, from the time, go back and check the time code. From the time I said I have to stand up, I stood up, to the time just now, you know, 30 seconds ago, it gave me the notification.
So. Okay, so it's not just stand up, sit down. You have to stand and then like shake your butt around.
Yeah, you got to stand up for a couple minutes.
Do the chicken dance.
Seems
okay.
like.
Okay. Oh, so I was going to say that one thing you is a good idea is throw the Apple Watch app on your first home screen for at least a while, I would imagine, because you're going to be tweaking things around for a while.
That makes sense. Yeah, when you really figure out how you're going to use your watch, then you can throw the app back in your Siberia folder.
Yeah, and you may not even ever throw it in Siberia, but you you know, throw it a couple pages down. And you know, the thing is, for me, I feel like I'm not going to fully understand how much I enjoy this thing until I spend a week with it, especially going and doing my daily routine. Because staying at home isn't really where the biggest benefit's going to come out. Although there are a couple things. I mean, like you get to have your phone wherever you want, and thank goodness they do have that feature that I really wanted from the little settings glance. You hit the little button and it'll ping your phone so you can find it. Which is
really
that's
nice. Awesome.
I love that. And it's right there. You don't have to jump into settings or anything. What was the other thing? Oh, I didn't realize this, but so when someone's calling you, of course, it'll show up on your wrist and you can answer or decline there. But if you scroll down, there's also I believe you can send a message reply, a text reply, but there's also the answer on iPhone option, which when I first saw that, I was like, what's that going to do for me? It's just going to pick up on my iPhone and I have to quickly grab it. But what ends up happening is you kind of do that because you know that your phone's like across the room, but you want to answer it on your phone. So you hit that button and then you go chase your phone. And in the meantime, the person who's calling you gets a little hold tone. So it answers the call. It's not necessarily the most pleasant hold tone. I listen to it, but you know, it's
really,
yeah.
Huh. And then how does it know when you've picked up your... Oh, just when you hit the button on your phone.
Yeah, you just swipe the little answer deal.
But it makes it so that they don't hang up before you can get to your phone.
Exactly. But I imagine some people will get confused because it doesn't say, please hold. It just...
Michael's beep, coming.
Beep.
So maybe they think... if it's a beep, maybe they think they've gone to voicemail and they just start talking.
That could be. Yeah, Siri's voice should kick in and say,
please hold for Mr. Johnston.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. I think that may be something they add in at some point. I remember back in one of the beta versions of OS X with iChat AV, they had a hold option an answering machine option where if you video called somebody and they didn't answer, you could put a little video in there if you wanted to have an answering video. That's pretty cool. So as far as gestures go, of course, you got the digital touch where you can press the two fingers to do the heartbeat.
You said gestures. You're talking about...
Well, you know, kind of hidden hand combo things.
Okay.
So I'm starting with most
digital touch.
Most duh stuff too, you know, kind of hidden things. And I like that someone pointed out it's the reason it's two fingers. It's like you would take your pulse with two fingers, but it's on the other side. So that's kind of neat. But the one gesture that I couldn't find anywhere that I was just kind of chatting with my brother, like, hey, it's really cool, but I hate that I have to put my wrist down to make it go back to sleep. He's like, well, why don't you just put your hand on it? I'm like, would that work? And it's sure enough. So if you wake up the display and you can just bop it. You can just bop the palm of your hand on the watch and it goes right back to sleep.
Well, if you cover it too, it'll silence it. So if you're getting a phone call or getting something that comes in immediately.
Yeah, you can
hold your hand over top of it and it will silence it.
Now
that's very cool.
That is really cool. Now I saw somewhere that you have to do it for 3 seconds, you have to hold it over, or is it immediate?
I think it is 3 seconds, but
okay.
I would imagine it would sort of just stop
buzzing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. you know, we went to the movies last night. I did have to remember to put it into mute, like to go into settings and actually mute it.
You can do it from the settings glance. There's a
settings. I don't know how to get to the settings glance.
It's right there, and I don't think you can even remove it. I think it's one of those that you can't take. Yeah, settings is a permanent glance.
I don't know where I stuck it. I just saw it go by.
Probably there
it
is. And that's the one you can use to get to your.
I probably need to move that to be the first. It's in the middle somewhere.
Yeah,
right,
that's
now
what I have it as. I have it as the first. And so you can do the airplane mode, the do not disturb, and mute. And I just have my thing on permanent mute.
Then how do you really? The sounds are really nice, actually. I like the sounds. And as a matter of fact, it saved me today because I was walking in the house and I had my iPhone in my back pocket and a client called and I didn't even feel the phone vibrating, but my watch started ringing.
But did you feel the tapping?
And I felt the tapping too, yeah.
See that, I mean, silencing doesn't turn off the tapping. It just...
The taps, you know, I've missed the taps can be pretty subtle. Like I've missed taps.
How loose is the band?
Not loose. I have it pretty tight.
Will it move if you like try to shake it down your wrist or something?
No.
Okay. Huh. I haven't had any issue. I think it kind of varies per person. Let's see here.
I think that the taps are also intelligent too, right? So like if I'm looking at my phone screen and it knows my phone is active, it seems like I do not get the taps, or like it gives priority to the phone in terms of notifications.
Yes, that is one thing. So the
Which I like.
If you're
it's smart.
Doing if you have your phone unlocked, no notifications will go to that. Otherwise, all notifications you have set to go to your watch will go to the watch unless your watch is charging.
Yeah, that's really cool. I appreciate that because one, it saves on battery life, and two, if I already have my phone out and I'm already interacting with it, you know, I can address any notifications, anything's right mm-hmm. there anyway. So there's no point in the double. You know, this sort of goes back to what we've always talked about, like where they need to
the pair
handoff
down
phone
the,
call thing yeah. and like give priority to like if I have my phone near my Mac, then let the phone take the phone call. Don't have everything ring.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, now when I get a phone call, my iPad rings, my phone rings, my Mac rings, and my watch is tapping.
And they're all on your desk within 3 inches of each other.
Yeah, it's good times. Force touch, of course, is interesting. And, you know, one thing that I've kind of wanted, as soon as I started using the digital crown on my watch, and I go back to my phone, I'm like, I kind of want the digital crown on my on my phone. Have you had that feeling?
No.
Yeah, I like the digital crown. It's one of the it definitely feels natural, and I was not convinced when I originally saw them talking about it. But it's really neat. The only thing that upsets me is when in the Photos app, it nearly always it's a it's a scrolly thing, but in the Photos it's a pure zoom thing, and I don't know the Photos app is a little bit weird because I for some reason just expect it to be a scroll situation and then tapping is how you zoom, but it's zooming with the digital crown and you have to pan with your finger, but semantics, I guess.
Can I tell you my biggest concern at this point?
Sure.
For my Apple Watch? Battery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have the 38 or the 42?
I have the 38, but I'm not going to go on this misnomer that suddenly the 38 has way less battery life than the 42.
No, I'm just curious.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I'm betting that you'll be okay with your battery life in a couple weeks. Not that you'll adapt and be like, well, I guess it's fine. But all of the stuff you're doing right now that's just killing the battery because you're doing it all the time, you won't be doing in a couple weeks because you'll have your pad.
Maybe. I mean, today I tried to just go about it and not be... Yesterday I was definitely obsessed with it. And it came with 78% battery. Yep. I didn't charge it back up or anything like that. I used it. It arrived at 4, and I pretty much used it solid, and it went into power reserve mode at 10 o'clock. So it was like 6 hours, but that was like, you know, constantly messing with it for about 6 hours from 78%. So that I get. But today I tried, you know, I got up at 7 a.m., 100% charge, threw it on. I did a workout, a 30-minute workout, and I've just been doing notifications. I did do a couple little sessions with Digital Touch with some people, looked at some notifications, responded to some things, did a couple Siri things. And as we sit here recording, it is 3 p.m., and I am at 29% battery life.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't do a workout today, but I'm at 76%.
Hey, on the charger thing, the charger itself, is it metal or plastic?
It's plastic on the Sport.
It depends on which
that watch. Oh, okay, that's right.
It's metal. I asked Skip. He has a stainless steel, and his is metal.
And I think it's just a metal band around the outside, right? It's not like...
Yeah.
I don't know that the whole unit is
Well, there definitely metal. Has to be some metal of some sort in there, because you have the magnets, and the magnets are in the watch, so you have to have an appropriate metal in the charger.
Yeah. Oh, the magnets are in the watch. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they're down near the sensors.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't poured over the iFixit teardown yet.
Yeah, and speaking of that, they do have the diagnostic port in there. I saw a potentially real thing from, it sounds real, on a Reddit thread. It seemed like it was from a genius who said that basically, they have a tool that slides into that band slot that that automatically opens the door and has a female lightning port on the other side that they plug in.
The iFixit people, after tearing it apart, they couldn't figure out how that thing would open at all.
Yeah, but I mean, it's clear that it's...
That's interesting.
It's clear that it's there for a reason. Why would they have a door at all? Why would they drill out the pieces? I mean, it's really strange. Right. I think we're going to figure it out in the next couple of weeks. You know, maybe I should try bricking my watch and go to the...
Yeah, do it. Go ahead and brick yours.
Yeah.
Wait, where is the little port?
On the bottom band slot.
Seriously?
Yeah. But there's a door on it. And iFixit can't figure out how the door opens. I would imagine it's some kind of maybe, I don't know, part magnetic thing.
It looks almost like a little SIM ejector.
It does. Thing. It does. Yeah. But it obviously much smaller.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but again, it makes perfect sense that would be there.
And that's a lightning connector? It looks like it might be the right size or close to it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a direct pin out for lightning or if it needs translation to lightning. But that's what's been said. We're going to find out soon enough, I'm sure. But let's see here. Diagnostic port. The INX glass has been, they've gone on, there have been quite a few scratch tests and those sorts of things. Someone put a bunch of like mustard and goo and other sorts of things on them, and they were fine until someone dropped a cast iron skillet on the INX glass and it shattered, which... So- Like, okay, that's not a reasonable thing that's going to happen. So, but
right.
Whatever.
Yeah, I did see a photo online where someone totally shattered the edge of the INX glass on their sport watch already.
And was it just because they were doing normal stuff or?
I don't know. Where it's shattered, it looks to me like they were probably wearing it and their arm was swinging and they banged it into a really hard surface at just the right angle.
Yep.
and then it just shattered.
Yeah, somebody supposedly on from Weibo or Weibo, whatever it's called, Weibo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I saw somebody tweeted out. They saw on Weibo that somebody had said they dropped their Apple Watch and they had an image of a shattered front glass. And I was like, I need more info before I decide the legitimacy of this image.
Yeah, but, well, the image that I saw, it was just the edge where the glass
was. This was a lot worse than that. I'm like, what, did they drop it? You know, you dropped it, but dropped it from what? From 10 stories? You know, like,
right.
Yeah, did it hit terminal velocity?
Like, what? I can't imagine, although I don't know, I wouldn't even want to test it, but I guess we need to see some more standardized sort of drop tests.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. Waterproof wise, some guys in Australia from Phone Fox, they did quite a bit of waterproof testing. So they did it in the shower.
This one cracks me up.
It's a pretty fun video.
Well, not for that reason.
Oh, why? Because they were just testing the waterproof? Or
no, because Apple has stated specifically the IPX code, which is the waterproofing code, for what it is. And so I think you're going to get to the big revelation from that article is, oh, we dunked it and had it submerged for 15 minutes and it's fine.
Yeah, that obvious. That's
which is exactly what's supposed to happen.
That's what they've
said. It can be dunked for 30 minutes, by the way, people, in less than a meter of water, and it will survive. There's water resistance ratings, and they're numbered 1 through 9 or 9K, I guess technically. But there's 9 levels of what they call liquid ingress protection, or LPI. And the Apple Watch is rated at level 7, which is it can be immersed in water up to 1 meter for up to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just cracks me up because it's like Apple has stated specifically what the waterproof level is. So you don't need to test it because it's been tested. It has a rating.
I like that. You don't need to test it because it's been tested. So go about your business.
It's like you don't need to light flame retardant clothing on fire to see if it doesn't burn.
Well, I think that's a useful test. You want to verify that it's actually...
Yeah, I mean, so Apple's even being conservative with what they're saying. So I think they've even hedged their bets because, you know, they're going to tell you do not submerge it at all.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to do it with mine.
Yeah, I considered going in the shower with it this morning.
But just so people know, the official rating, it says in the tech specs, is IPX7. And you can look this up on Wikipedia. You can look this up on the various places. And, you know, with that rating, that's what it that's what it's supposed to be able to handle.
But high pressure water from a shower or hot water, really hot water, it doesn't like hot water. Obviously,
which makes sense because the gaskets they change size depending on temperature. You know, just like anything else would.
You would think though that cold water would be more of an issue for that than hot water, because they would expand more under heat. So I'm not sure. I don't know how that affects.
I think
the
it's
water.
Really about fast temperature changes, because the metal body and the gaskets expand and contract at different rates.
Yeah, they do have different
coefficients. So it's that difference that matters.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you're probably right. But yeah, these guys did go in the shower with theirs and wash their hair and all that stuff.
And again, Tim Cook already told us he showers with his.
Yeah,
daily,
but they say don't do it. That's the thing. They say
right,
not
because
do
they're
it.
Hedging their bets, because if something does happen, they're going to have to replace it, right?
Yeah, so, yes, it's true. Did you guys see the video of Tim Cook dancing, by the way?
The Pharrell dance?
The
Pharrell? I don't know. Is that how you say that guy's name?
Pharrell? Did you say Pharrell?
I say Pharrell because...
I would
Pharrell. That's okay. That's proper. You can tell how hip I am.
Wow.
The happy guy.
Yikes.
I did not see the video.
Yeah, there's a video of Tim Cook dancing. I guess it's been pulled down, but someone put on this waterproofing story on Mac Rumors, the top comment was, oh, I get it. That's why Tim Cook is doing the swim move, showing the watch's water-resistant abilities. And there's it totally looks like the swim or whatever. Whatever that dance move would be. It would
they
be called
it
the
down,
swim.
But you know how many I could find you a GIF right now?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at it.
Here, that's I'll out
send
of
bag,
it, dude.
I'll send it to you guys.
No, I've seen it. I know exactly.
Well, Jeff hasn't seen it.
I haven't seen it yet. Send me the link so that I can be lazy and not use Google.
You're welcome.
There you go. All right. I got, we got to wrap it up soon.
Yeah. I gotcha. So iFixit did their teardown, 205 milliamp hour battery. That's a pretty neat thing to check out. They kind of ruined the watch. They just, at some point they got frustrated and they're like, screw it. We're just going to tear the S1 chip out of here. And they just tore all the wires off. According to Apple, the battery is designed to last 1,000 complete charge cycles, which is better than the iPhone. And that, I should say, is kind of a bad title, because what it really is, it's 1,000 charge cycles and until you get to an 80% of original battery capacity, right? So once you've done those, it's rated to then at that point have 80% of the original battery capacity. So it'll be still completely usable, just less capacity. So,
which means that the battery is probably going to outlast the life of the watch for you.
Yes.
Just so you know too, that's standard just lithium battery. That's how they're rated. I mean, that's how your laptop one is rated too. Like, it's up to 70% charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the normal.
That's totally normal. Like I said, iPhones, they are rated at 500 cycles, iPods at 400. And like you said, laptops are
1,000,
laptops and iPads are both 1,000.
Yeah.
So, and there's been no word on the difference in the capacity between the 38 and the 42 yet, but I'm sure, you know,
my guess is that in the end, it's going to be negligible.
Yeah. All the guided tours are now posted, so you can check those out and enjoy them. And let's see here. Oh, Ming-Chi Kuo, he has said that we're not probably going to see, as far as iPhone news here, we're not going to see a new 4-inch iPhone this calendar year. It seems like Apple is just going to put the... I think Adam said this last week. They're just going to move the iPhone 5S to be the free option, and then we're going to see the 6 at the $99 option, then the 6S or whatever they want to call it, or the 9, the iPhone 9. I want to see it called the iPhone 9. I'm convinced now. We had a listener write in about that, and I think that's Ken Ray's theory, because it's the 9th iPhone, right? So just go to iPhone 9. I like that.
I don't think they're going to do that.
But I want it to be that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fine. When you get yours, yours will be the iPhone 9.
Get a Sharpie and I'll write it down there.
Yeah.
But then he thinks 2016, we're going to see a new C version. So that's a cool
one. Yeah. I don't think I threw that theory out, because I thought they were going to take basically the 5S guts and put it in a new case.
Oh, okay.
Which makes sense.
That right. Maybe, yeah.
And call it a 6, whatever.
Sure. Now this story, this is the last one.
And I didn't
have.
Mean, sorry. And just so people don't write
sure.
in, I don't mean literal cuts. I mean the component parts, because obviously they need to be reconfigured if they were more in a 6 sort of thinner kind of form factor.
Yeah. Now I do not like this YouTube story. So the YouTube app will no longer be available on older Apple TV and iOS devices. So if you have, something lower than iOS 7 on your iOS devices, or a Gen 2 Apple TV, which Adam and a lot of other people have, you're not going to be able to use YouTube anymore, because they need their ad revenue.
You pull up the app and you AirPlay it.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Yeah, you can do that.
But still, that I mean,
the YouTube app sucks anyway. Who cares?
A lot of people care. I use the YouTube app.
I know. You guys are young. See, I'm an old fogey. It doesn't affect me.
Yeah, I'm with you, Adam.
We're not on the YouTubes.
You're not watching. You're not listening to music on YouTube. You're not watching music on YouTube.
I can't stand all those videos that those YouTubers do anyway.
God,
I don't under. I totally.
I don't know
don't
if you could sound any older right now, Adam.
What's the guy's name? Fred. Although he's old, he's the old guy. I'm sure there's like a bunch of new, cooler, hipper people than Fred.
What the heck are you talking about?
Funky YouTubers.
You're talking about your friend Fred, who's on YouTube.
No.
What are you talking about?
Is that
about?
What the kids watch?
What the heck are you talking about?
He had
about?
His own movie, for God's sake.
Okay, maybe I'm not hip. Maybe I'm out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, YouTube Fred.
I don't know.
Fred Figglehorn.
Dude.
Yeah, YouTube is the place that that gave rise to the whole thing of people making videos so other people can watch them chew.
Maybe I am hipper than you, Michael.
That's ASMR.
You don't know who Fred Figglehorn is?
Fred Figglehorn. No, I don't.
He's got an entire Wikipedia page. Come on.
Oh, this kid. No, I don't know who this person is.
But, I mean, he's old. I mean, there's a lot of more popular YouTubers now. And it's like a whole culture that I don't understand or get.
I know
the young kids like these videos.
PewDiePie,
there you go. PewDiePie, that guy too.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are the kids still into PewDiePie?
No, they're into Cartman, bruh. But what was I going
to
say?
So those kids who can't afford ASMR. It to Apple TV are going to be pissed.
Yeah, you can't watch your ASMR on Apple TV 2 anymore.
Save your paper up money, $80, and get yourself a new Apple TV.
I thought it was $70. Well, taxes.
$69. $70, fine, even better.
Taxes. Anyway.
Less you have less papers to sling to get there.
It still does.
Stop crying. Upgrade your Apple TV.
And don't think Google is singling out Apple because
no, they're not.
Older Google Play devices, televisions 2012 and older from Sony and Panasonic, Blu-ray players, older Blu-ray players, older game consoles, all of these devices are getting dropped with the new APIs.
Lame. Really lame. But we don't have enough time to talk about how lame it is, but it's lame, trust us. So we're going to do our iDevice picks.
No, it's not. It's fine.
It is lame.
Okay.
It's a greedy move.
We'll just agree that Michael's wrong and move on. All right. What's next?
I'll take it. Jeff, what's your pick?
My pick is a fitness app that is an alternative to using Health, and I think it's far superior to Health.
All right.
And it's called Fitport. And what I like about Fitport is that instead of giving you just the very vague fitness history data that Health gives you, this gives you detailed stuff. So like if you want to see how many steps you took yesterday, you can. You can't really do that in the Health app.
Yeah, I noticed you can't. I kind of figured you like that was the whole point.
The more I play with it, the more I realize it's just a big bucket of crap.
Yeah, it seems kind of crappy.
It's a data black hole.
Yeah, but Fitport, it gives you access to all that data that's there, and it presents it to you in a way that I think is much more useful and much more readable.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
So it is just pulling in the data from Health, though?
Yep, it's just totally grabbing HealthKit
data.
What's
it called?
Fitport, one word.
Fitport. It's like $2.
Yeah, $2. Mm.
Do they have Apple Watch support?
They're working on it. They may have it now. I can't remember.
No, they don't yet.
So they're working on it, but they're trying to decide what do they want to do on Apple Watch because they want to make sure they're giving you data that's actually useful on the watch and not just, hey, look, we made a flashy Apple Watch app.
This looks nice.
Yeah, it does.
It's really nice.
I might have to buy that.
Cool. Adam, what's your pick?
I'm picking the same thing I picked last week.
What, the Apple Watch?
No, Trivia Crack.
Oh, so you're addicted.
I'm repicking it, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because they have an Apple Watch app.
Oh, boy.
And you can play the full game on the Apple Watch. You don't even need your phone. You can do everything that you can do on the watch or on the phone on the watch.
Do you need the pay version or the free version?
That I don't know. I have the paid version, so I paid $2.99.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can see, you know, when your turn is up, and you can answer the questions, and you can spin the little spinner to get your category. It's really good. It's actually really pretty nicely done. So I was impressed by it. So I want to pick it again because it's like, oh, this is cool.
Okay.
And I want more people to play against.
All right.
Challenge me.
I might get it.
It's fun.
Okay. All right. And my pick is an app called Daily Bread, two words. It's a buck, and it's because I really wanted a grocery app that would work with my watch, and most importantly would have Siri integration. Really the only way to do that is via reminders. And this is the only one I could find. Really. I think it was the only one that offered an Apple Watch app plus Siri integration. It was $1. It's totally basic, but that's fine. You're just shopping for groceries, and it's great. So whenever you need to add groceries, which, you know, it's when you're like your hands are not free and you're in the kitchen or something like that, you just tell your watch what you need, say, add it to my grocery list, and she'll add it to the grocery list, and then it'll show up in the app on your phone and everywhere. So there you go.
Hey, can I do a quick bonus tip too?
Yeah.
And I think they just wrote this up on Mac Observer, so you can go read it there as well. But just so people know, screenshots on the Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that one.
Yeah. Side button plus the push in digital crown at the same time. Get a screenshot. It goes into the camera app on your phone, I believe, and also the camera roll on the phone. Since you don't have, you know, a camera roll on your watch. But yeah, you can take screenshots.
Cool.
Which is awesome.
Yep. So there you go. A little bonus for you before we get out of here.
Yeah, what is Kelly Gamont? She's writing about the Apple Watch. Didn't she write an article about how she's not getting one?
Uh-huh. Yep. She did.
Such a punk. All right.
So, yeah, but she's our cute little punk.
Yeah, I know. It works. Okay, so iPhone picks and show notes are at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes. Tell a friend. Check out our sponsor this month, which is NatureBox at naturebox.com/TIOSS for a free box of treats. Can't get much better than that. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address. And advertising is handled by Backbeat Media. Jeff Gamet, Mac Observer, at Jake Gamet on Twitter, and TMO Daily Observations Podcast. That's where you can find him. Thanks, Jeff. Hope
sure
you get your watch soon. Do you have any? Are you preparing for shipment or still processing?
I'm still processing.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Adam Christensen, he's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, and at MacCast on Twitter. Thanks for being
here, sir.
Adam.
Thanks.
So did you end up waiting the entire day until 4 in front of your mailbox then?
No.
You just had the picture taken?
That was just the picture.
Okay.
Just the picture. And I'm seriously getting worried. I might charge my watch midday and that sucks.
That does suck.
That should not have to happen. That better not be normal or I will be at the Genius Bar soon.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what the heck, man?
It doesn't sound like what the earlier reviews talked about, so you may have a situation. So
I might.
All right, I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, and with that, we'll talk to you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod, a phone, and an internet community.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.